Hello, folks. This is our second episode of the game development series podcast of our The Bag of Tales main theme. And today, as you already noticed that, we are talking in English. And we're talking in English because we have two wonderful guests. They will introduce themselves a bit later. But we will be talking today about the indie game development and kind of everything related to that. So I would like to greet Ole and Ilya. Hi, guys.
Hello. How are you doing today? Do we say anything? Great, I guess. It's perfect.
I see you walking. Like, is it going to the park or somewhere else?
Yeah, you're going to listen to me and the birds. So it's going to be a symphony, a beautiful symphony.
That's nice. That's the best. We don't have to edit that, like do nothing, just, you know, record that and put that into YouTube. All right. Yeah. So folks, maybe you can really briefly introduce yourself and tell a little bit about like what you're doing and how you end up in the game development.
Ilya, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can jump in. So yeah, my name is Ilya. I'm a co-founder of the Evolute Game Studio, where we actually making games. I have like background in a technical side. So I used to be a like software developer, backend developer, game developer, a lot of different stuff. And for the whole my life, I was really passionate about the games and wanted to create my own. So yeah, it's pretty basic. I had some experience in Ubisoft as a developer, and then after some time decided to start my own studio, and now going with it. We are about to publish our first game in the nearest time, and yeah, glad to be here today. Thanks
nice,
for having me.
Nice. Yeah,
you're welcome. Yeah, and also Ilya graduated, well, yeah, Game Dev Camp season 2.
Yeah.
And with the game that they made in the camp, they won the best mobile game here in DevGam in Vilnius. And I'm insanely proud of them. Yeah. I'm continuing Ilya's biography. Like it was, you know, a beautiful, proud dad moment when there was like a panel. So a bunch of very, very experienced people, you know, against Ilya plus the audience. And he's like pitching his game. Like, you know, in front of the audience, in front of the like judges, and he held pretty well. So yeah, it was a total proud dad moment.
How many people were there where you had a pitch?
That was DevGam in Vilnius. I think there was like around I think like a few hundreds of attendees or something like that.
I think 600, but like, yeah, stuff okay. Like that. And we had the main hall for this pitching thing.
Yep.
That's a lot. That's like a stage experience, you know, like a real one.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. And you did great, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a just amazing experience on the DevGam. Yeah, because pitching went pretty well. Yeah, it was really good. I estimated myself to be a bit worse on that stage, but yeah, looks like it was pretty good. But the most amazing part was when we actually won this best mobile game, because it was super unexpected for us. We even was not prepared in case like the nominees should sit in the front rows, and we decided, it's not for us. We will sit just on the back rows. But it was just great.
Yeah, then my congratulations.
Another beautiful thing was that they actually competed in this category against one of the Game Dev Camp mentors, and they won it. And I was talking to the mentor like before DevGam, and he's like, "Hey, Audimus, look, I mean, one of the teams is competing with you. How do you feel?" And he was like, "I mean, I'm all like, I really don't care. Let them win. I'll be happy for them." So I'm like, it's such a nice, peaceful mindset of our mentor. So like, yeah, I was proud.
Nice. Yeah. Ole, then maybe like get back to you like about your experience and stuff.
Yeah. So let's start from a teaser. Let's put it this way. I'm on the credit of multiple games, despite I have never been part of any indie team ever. How did it happen? So basically, when you know the world was young, dinosaurs roamed or the earth, there was like a small startup called Unity, and I was already part of this. So like Unity, I found one. That's when I started like my professional career, and that's when it was iPhone 3 times. So it was like really dinosaur times.
And
I'm getting like to the point already. So basically, people started discovering mobile games, but they didn't know like how to do this. And I was like that stupid person who would have made whatever games for Symbian, and I was like into that. And so basically, what I'm trying to say, I was part of Unity, and I was telling people how to make sure their games run well on mobile, and they were so hate about all this. My assistants, they would put me on the credits for the games. It was beautiful, including for like, for example, since like it was a surprise for me, like if the old people watching or listening to this podcast may probably remember the first Shadowgun, like the first action FPS game for mobiles, and made by Madfinger Studios in Brno, Czech Republic. And since it was such a monumental game and all that, and everybody played it because it was a benchmark, it was like a cool thing. And I'm like, I'm finding myself in the credits. I'm like, oh boy, like how cool is that? Yeah. I know, what else do I tell?
Basically, and now you somehow transition from that period and that experience to basically the game dev camp, right?
Well, there were 14 years in between, and also something happened.
Of course.
so something happened. Mostly good things, though. But basically, let's put it this way. I mean, to transition to the camp, that I had this position at Unity and then later at King in Stockholm, where I worked. King is like the company that made Candy Crush Saga and a lot of other bubbly games. And I was on their R&D team. But what's important here that I was also like, whatever, call me a talking head, a talking programmer, like an extrovert programmer, so to speak. And I would meet many people. I would talk to many people. Especially younger people who would want to work in games but would never find their place because it's hard to break into the games industry. So I had this enormous pain for like, let's maybe passion, that's a proper word. I had this enormous passion for helping younger people to sort of, you know, bridge their dreams, their passions to the actual work in the games industry. And whatever, after ruining it for 10, 12, whatever, 14 years. Yeah, I started the Game Dev Camp with Lera, and then other people joined. So that's how we transitioned to Game Dev Camp.
I see. So now basically what you're doing is trying to like help young talent to get into game development, right? And start actually building games.
It's much more complicated than that. Let's put it this way.
I'm oversimplifying things, I know.
Since define young, and I'm not picking on you, it's that young is not age, but more like a particular skill set. So, for example, in season 2, there was a person from Romania named Marius. So he had whatever, 3, 4, 5, I don't remember, years of professional experience as a web developer. I think he was a front end, or maybe back end. It's not important. It's important that he didn't have like any professional experience with Unity. So, and he wanted to make games, and he used Game Dev Camp to pretty much get a job in games. Because like, how do you get a job in games? You show the game that you made. And if you're a programmer, how can you show a game if it's like all, you know, from ugly assets with ugly game design? Like, do you show just your code, but how do you show it? And how do you prove that you can work in the team and all that? So Marius joined Game Dev Camp, got a programmer, got an artist, got a game designer, and they made a beautiful game. And yeah, so that's how he got a job in games. So yeah. Marius wasn't really young. He had two kids. So
yeah, but by saying Jan, I didn't really mean that Jan by age, because that's not really important. Jan, I mean, but like new talent, like people who maybe transitioned to game development from different careers, or just started like from, I don't know, like from student times, or graduated. Yeah, because that's actually a traditional thing. I would say in like, because I'm coming from, let's say, like, I would say web development, but for now, like currently I'm not doing only web, doing a lot of different things. But even in that sphere, like a lot of people, they are self-taught. Then like, of course, if you pick folks like from US, for example, or from like Europe, of countries like Germany, like Sweden, other countries, UK, they usually have like degree in computer science or something like that. But a lot of folks, especially like my colleagues, like people from Ukraine, for example, a lot of them are basically self-taught people. And I know musicians who transition to development. I know like a lot of different folks who basically changed their professions, careers, passion, basically, and started doing something. So I think that, let's say, traditional development, like, and the game development sphere is pretty much similar into that. So people just like chase their passion and they doing something new and trying things. And thanks to the camp that you are organizing, they kind of can, you know, fulfill their passions. That's really good.
Yeah, actually,
so maybe you can. Yeah.
Actually, here is some problem, because if the person that wants to learn to study how to build games, but this person cannot get into game dev because they can't, and we don't have any places in Ukraine to where to learn. So only probably most reasonable stuff, it would be jams, like 2-day jam, weekly jams. But still, you need to learn a lot of stuff just by yourself. And okay, and we don't have a university in Ukraine who study game dev at all. So IT is most closest one. But sometimes you really need somebody to help you, and it's really great stuff that Game Dev Camp, for example, have mentors, and it's really, really helps to grow much faster than you are learning all the stuff by yourself.
Yeah,
but can you share your own experience? Because like you've been there, so like I know, how did mentors help you? Because I never went through the camp. I'm just like looking, you know.
I created that, right?
What did you feel? yeah. But I never experienced it, so like I can guess what you're feeling and what you're getting.
Can I interrupt you for a second? So let's make it a little bit interesting. Oleg, maybe you can share like your vision as a creator of the camp at the moment. Like, what's the purpose of that, and like opportunities that it can give to people who come to the Game Dev Camp? And Vova can basically tell like his own experience, like how he managed through that whole process.
And Ilya, he went through that also, and three different patterns. But basically, look, so we as the founders of the camp, for whatever reasons, but like let's put it in a statement, we sort of know the shortcut of how different, like how Game Dev Camp attendees should get the maximum value of the camp. How do people get the maximum, the fastest, the most efficient transformation of their skills, so that like within 3 months in the camp, they learn the maximum. So again, what I'm trying to say, we know how to get to the end fast, the direct way. However, it is counterintuitive for game dev participants to go there, to go the way that is the shortest. When we try them, look, so this is the shortest path, go through that. People say, uh-huh, and never do this. Then we're like, no, look, you should go like this way. They say, uh-huh, and don't do this. Because it's counterintuitive. It's not how they're wired to function. So pretty much means that we have to cheat in a way that we let people be themselves, we let them do mistakes, and we let them decide this, like how to go to this shortest path in order like to get the maximum from the camp. So that's the philosophy. Now let's, you know, take out the roping out of the philosophy and put like one example. So one example would be, it's only by the end of the third month in the camp that many people actually discover that they indeed could have asked mentors anything and anytime. And they're like, what have we been doing for the last whatever 11 weeks? And for the last 11 weeks, people would be like, oh, this person is working at some big company. I feel so stupid with my question. I will never ask it. Because that's intuitive. And the counterintuitive is like, go ask that person the question, the stupid question. Like, how do you write code? How do you start the game design doc? Like, how to think about it? The stupid basic questions. And And that's kind of the things that will force people to learn and to master and to go through. So that's the high level part. Did I answer your question, or
yes,
do I need to do anything
else? You did. You did. So now maybe Boa, maybe you can share your experience, because you was going, I guess, like you're still like you're not going currently, right? You finished that already.
Yeah, I already finished. Actually, it's quite strange that Ola said it. I think it's really obvious. So we just write into our mentor just every time that we need to ask something, and we had weekly meetings as well. So
different people, different experiences. Yeah,
whatever.
You're talking about one-on-one mentor. Who was it, by the way? I forgot.
Aaron from UK.
Aaron, yeah, cool.
So my experience, to be honest, like this 3 months on the camp, it was tough, really tough, because I had a job on that time, and sometimes, some weeks, it was like 80, 90 hours working per week for me, because in advertisement for game day camp, you're saying that you need to spend like 2-4 hours per day. but if you want to progress like effectively, you need to spend much more.
Or
like
if you're a game designer.
Sorry?
If you're a game designer, yeah. You were a game designer, and yep, you were a good game designer. And also in the camp, game designers, they're also the project managers. They also, you know, they care about the team chemistry. You're sort of the boss and the best friend of everybody. And you have like to make sure everything moves forward. And it's just a lot on your plate. While, I mean, if you want to just be a game designer, well, good luck, because you learn so much things. Whether you need them or not in the job, that's a different question. But yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's so much important for me was because I was working as narrative designer on my main job, and I have not too much task to do. So it's quite certain and not too big. And in the indie team, as a game designer, as Ola said, you're a project manager, you're a game designer, you're a narrative designer, also you're presenting and pitching your idea to everybody. So I just started from my team and bring some ideas to decide what we are gonna do on the game dev camp. So, and for this 3 months on game dev camp, I learned more than for 1 year on my main job. So it's super effective.
That's really cool. Ilya, maybe you can share your experience as well, because you kind of, you not only went through the boot camp, like through the camp, but you also won the prize, right? Like for the best.
Oh, like the prize was a bit separately. So it was a DevGam conference, but Yeah, I can share my experience. So from my side, it was really interesting. Actually, in terms of one-on-one mentorship, we had our mentor. It was Pasha from Belka Games. And it was such a treasure for us because we had like one-on-one calls weekly, and in like 30 or 40 minutes of the call, Sasha gives us so a lot of feedback and information to proceed that sometimes we need to just reschedule our next call, because like in 1 week you cannot like proceed with all that stuff and create, implement like all needed changes and so on. But yeah, it was super helpful for us, especially because we kind of we was the only team that come to the camp already with some kind of formulated idea and main like concept of the game. And it was important for us also to push it forward as a product, to actually think about like our end players, about how we like engage them, what metrics will be important for us, and all this stuff. And this was like not something that we could learn from nowhere. Yeah, and Pasha was just a treasure in that part. And besides this, also the like our game design mentors, like all these sessions with game design mentors was also really useful in terms of what mechanics are working, what not, what you should add some points to improve. Because like for me, I was a game designer also in our team, but it was mostly this, the decision because I was like the team leader, because I never had like professional game design experience before. I created my own pet projects, but not like something really solid and big. Yeah. So yeah, there was also a lot of good knowledge there. So yeah.
Yeah. And then how did you, like after the camp, how did you transform that knowledge like into the real product, like after that? Like, can you share your path after that?
Actually, one important thing that during the camp we gathered a lot of let's say ideas and plans that we just cannot finish in time before the beginning of the camp, just because of the time resources. So like a few months after the camp, we just continue working on our game. And yeah, just like a few weeks ago, we went to the DevGam conference in Vilnius, for example. Like, yeah, actually won this prize. Thanks a lot for Oli actually to invite us there, because we it was his idea, his invitation, and this was like very great experience. And right now, yeah, but as we are like building a studio, we're trying to raise money for the actual final game production, because like big detailed roadmap, game concept, some trailers, some plans, budgeting, all that stuff. And for now, like team is continuing working on prototype and chance it makes better. We are like looking for raising money to expand the team to like make it more professional, let's say. Yeah.
And I know that it is extremely difficult usually to, you know, to go to investors, to raise the money, to pitch and to basically, you know, tell them your story and make them believe in your story and in your success, like future success. And I would like to get your experience, like how it is difficult for you at the moment, because I don't think anyone is prepared to actually this kind of like, you know, stage in your like development path when you actually have some product and you have to go now and get some money. Like, how do you do that?
So actually I'm a bit lucky at this point, just because previous year I had my previous startup, so I already had a bit of experience with the fundraising stuff and so on. But yeah, it's true that it's very hard at the beginning, because you're trying to I think the main thing you need to do, like at the even especially when you're on the early stage, you're just creating some prototype or concept, you really need people to believe in your idea, to feel it and to understand why you're passionate about it and make them passionate too. And I think for now it's really hard just because of the market right now. It's not really you know, there was like a talk on DevGam that was called Raising for Indie Studios When Money No Longer Rains from Sky. Yeah, this was like really useful thoughts there, just because like for now, I think it's much more harder than the previous years. But yeah, we are still trying. We are continuously speaking with the investors. And I think I like answered your question more abstract, but...
No, it's fine. It's just like I'm personally really curious about this kind of process, and maybe if you can share, if it's okay to share it publicly, like who are usually those investors? Like big bosses with money, like founders of some big companies, or like who usually
differs from one investor to another, because we are trying to consider almost all options that we have. So it could be some big VCs, like venture capital firms that are like investing more in equity and had like one. So it's not even, they may be even not focused on game dev. So sometimes you need to just make them understand what you're actually doing and why the Spark will give them money. Sometimes it's more like business angels. So they're like private investors that just invest by themselves in projects they want to support and they believe in. There's also publishers, but to be honest, we are not started our conversations with publishers yet, but it's like something that we are planning to do this week actually. So preparing. So it really differs, and this is also the very big difficulty point, because you're mostly want to have one pitch that will engage everyone. But it's not how it's working, because like even on the back to the speech on the DevGam, when I was pitching on the stage, there was guys with me that mostly investing in Cold Soul and PC games, and I was pitching mobile game, and there was a lot of misunderstanding points just on the, on this basement. It's really hard process, and you need to adjust every time to understand who you're pitching to, what's the purpose, what's their capabilities, what current market circumstances, all this stuff.
It actually reminds me looking for a job these days. Like you go to some company, you try to find a position, right? You have to research about the company, you have to talk to them, and so on. So I can understand that.
And there is one nuance. There is one nuance that there are pretty much three broad roads. It's not a single broad road, but three full broad roads. One broad road is to find a publisher, like somebody who gives you money to finish the game and to promote it. Then there are investors who invest not in your company, but in your game. And then you need to sign the publisher to finish and promote the game. And then there are investors who invest in your startup, in your company, in your vision. And that's what Julia is fishing for right now. So he sells first and foremost the vision for the company and for the series of games. And these three approaches, like two different investors and a publisher, those pretty much are opposing each other of like, what do you pitch? How do you pitch? What do you sort of like, what do you ask for? Let's put it this way. So it is super complicated these days.
Yeah. And actually the follow-up question to you, Ole, about that, like on your game dev camp, like, do you help people understanding that there will be a process, finding a publisher, finding people who will give them money? Do you help them somehow?
Yes, we do. But there is a huge but. The but is the following. In Silicon Valley slang is called entrepreneur bug, as in like what I'm trying to say, that obviously we can tell a person, like, look, this is how you pitch, this is how you approach, this is a strategy. We invited even like these ventures and publishers and whoever to come to the camp to explain how they function, as in, like, this is what I want, give me this and I will give you money, right? So, like, up to this point, but it still takes enormous leadership to run an indie studio, even if it's just for people. How do you motivate these people? Because they're working for free, you don't have money before you raise, right? So, like, and they have jobs, they have health, they have families. If you're from Ukraine, you also have Russian bombs falling on your head and all the other problems. And it is just hard. And the only, I think, the only way, like, a team leader can, you know, overcome the struggle, if they cannot not overcome the struggle, which is usually called, again, this entrepreneur bug. Like, you dream of, like, making this own game day and night. You cannot envision your whatever, having a job. Or, like, if you have a job, it is just in order to feed your team because you want to ship this game. So, like, yeah. So entrepreneur bug is something that we can help to I don't know, to highlight. Mm-hmm. But we probably cannot build it.
Yeah, of course.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it is. Like, that's actually what I was asking for. Like, you at least give people the idea that there will be these kind of problems. Of course, you cannot solve it for them because it's actually their task now, right? To go and to do a pitch, talk, and whatever.
Yeah. But then again, running or starting your own indie company is not necessarily a goal. So, I mean, everybody in the camp could get a taste of it. And they, I mean, if they can say, look, I tried it, it's not for me. I want to be an employee. I don't want to own a team. And it's fine. And it's perfect. It's great. Maybe you come back to this idea in 10 years when you have a lot of money and whatever. Experience, and everything.
Yeah. Money experience.
Yeah. And maybe you don't. And that's also fine. Not everybody needs to be a founder. The treasure is that you try and you feel, you learn how, like, you feel and learn, yeah, how to do it. And even if you massively fail at it, that's precious experience that you have invested very little money and just 3 months of your life, and not, mm-hmm. you know, like, sold everything and invested whatever 30 years of your life. It's just 3 months. So it's great to fail. Because you learn so much from it.
And maybe the follow-up question to that as well is, like, the networking. Like, can you both, like, this is a question both to you, I guess, like, Ilya and Ola, like, networking, how important that is in game development?
I mean, it's easy to answer this question for me because I have been networking for whatever 14 years. It's like, hey, I assemble some, you know, like, important people. I know them all. But, like, I think Ilya and Vova, like, should tell, like, what did they get from all the people they met? Because, like,
like, if I can jump in, from my side, it's like critical important. So, especially on that part, when you're trying to start actually scale your small team and your game idea into something bigger, into a company, into product, into something shipped, you start to looking for the investors, for the publishers, for new team members, for all the stuff. And without networking, it will be 10 times harder. 100 times harder. And this is like, this is one of the critical points that we get from the game dev camp, actually, because as I told, if we will not go through the camp program. We will never go to the DevGam in Vilnius. We'll never met all these guys. We'll never like won this this prize and all the stuff. So yeah, I think it's just a critical step.
Yeah.
You also that. Both of you also pitched at GDB, and Vovo, you're going to Games Gathering also as a speaker and as assume as a like also nominated for the prize. But please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's true. And for me, to be honest, it was really hard to start game dev because I'm a switcher. I worked in many spheres in my life, and I didn't have like friends who was into game dev, into games, just to develop. I haven't anybody to say, hey, let's make a game, anything, just game. But also I didn't have any experience in game dev, and it's quite hard to start even to participate in game jams as well. So, and after I found my first job in game dev, it became much easier. And when I decided to participate in game dev camp, it became much, much easier. Like, yeah, you need to have a people around you, and you need to understand that people around you also influence and form you as well. And you obviously, like, if you would have some experience person who you can learn from, it would be really, really help you. So you can improve much faster. You can make games better. You can sell it much easier because you have some connections with other people who know somebody and so on. So everybody know how it works. I hope so. So yeah, it's super important.
But then now I'm thinking to both of you replying, and I'm thinking, so like, look, most of the people that you met are not, for example, from Ukraine. I think so, like from the mentor side and all that. So like, and like, so we get this mentors who live in other countries. Like you meet this, whatever, experts from other countries. So they're not local. They cannot say like, hey, come work at my company. So do you like, does it still bring value to you, or would you have preferred like to have somebody local who understands you better?
But well, actually, I think it's valuable both. But when everybody, I think, can work remote, and mostly people can work remote, especially after COVID and war in Ukraine. Me personally, I also now trying to find a new job, and I'll also look in some positions in European countries as well to work in some European companies. So I think both would work, and it's also pleasant to have some live meetings in your local city, just to talk about some games and some ideas. It's I don't know, refreshing and relaxing.
Yeah, I
think I could agree here in terms of both are very valuable. And I think that the main difference is that with local people, you're much more comfortable and faster establish the warm contact. And you're like much more better understand each other just because similar culture, all this stuff. But with more like international guys, let's say, yeah, it's also very important because you're not locking yourself into a bubble, you know, because when you have like small community that is only local and not expanding somewhere worldwide, let's say, yeah, it's a bit blocking you. And it's very useful to understand like different points of view from guys from the different parts of the world. So, yeah.
Yeah, and now I'm thinking that I'm sorry for interrupting, just like very, very quickly. I'm just remembering like your one-to-one mentors. So like Aaron, that Vova's team's mentor, he's I think he works on Jurassic Park there in the UK. Like, he's like the game designer, and Ilya's mentor, like I think he's the head of whole R&D team at Belka. So like he's a big boss, and I mean probably like his hour costs, I don't know, at least 600 euros, and there it is, like he's for you for free, like advising, you know, like, so like the dude who built a game strategy.
Was such a treasure for us, as I said, because like, Pasha is a great expert, and we will never found anyone like him by ourselves. That's everything thanks to the camp.
I'm bragging about our mentors because like, I feel just so lucky that all these people want to, because they don't get money. So like they all work for free. Like what they get is you guys.
And that's actually like going back to the topic of the networking, I guess, Oli, that's thanks to your experience, right? You can have this acquaintances with different folks who you can bring and tell them, you will not get money, but you will get people and good talent, and you will have fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, so those of us listening or watching of, if you are past 30 and you're a man, probably you have already wanted to teach somebody. Like, so this teacher bug, a will to share the experience comes with age, and like to everybody. So like nobody is immune. However, again, the more experienced you are, the older is your network, and the less opportunities to teach you have. So basically, I give them you guys because they cannot get to you by any other means. So they're happy as kids to talk to you also, and they feel like very proud and they feel very happy. It's just such a nice, I mean, match for everybody. And
All that connecting people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like my gratitude to that, because you're doing a great job, because I know from my experience that it is really difficult to grow, let's say, alone in your professional career, because like if you don't have a mentor, all you get is just a Google, you know, and some maybe books that you can read and then try that out on your own experience, which
this
takes
sounds
years.
Very lonely.
Yeah, I know, that's part of my big part of my life, I would say, and sometimes still is. And basically, that's what you have. You just have like your own pet projects, which you're trying, failing, and basically learning from them and just going forward. Yeah, so I'm really happy that you have this kind of, you know, camp, and people can do something there, can learn something, get to know new folks, and especially great, let's say, experienced people who can be as guides in this game development world. So maybe then let's transition slightly from the topic of the camp to maybe the game development itself. And like I had a list of the questions. I'm trying to look at them. Something related to you, Vova, actually, that you will be having that. And also, Ilya, for you, because you already had that experience, is that what is the main mistakes in presenting your game or pitching your game in front of the audience or to different, basically, people like stakeholders, I don't know, like investors, other people?
One obvious mistake, it would be if you present your game and thinking about your game, but you need to present it, you need to put yourself into a position of investors or the people who are pitching, and trying to answer the questions that they might ask you. So like, what are you gonna bring to them? First of all, it would be money for sure. It would be a safety of your project, like certainly of that your project would be alive and would be shipped. It's very important. And the mostly like it's quite obvious stuff, but asking yourself such questions, it would help you a lot. And if you also can learn some another pitch decks, another successful or failed experience from other people, it would be also great.
Got it. Yep.
I think I will just join this first point. So it's obviously pitching to the wrong people or pitching to the people, the pitch that was not prepared to these people, because that's the main thing. Because when you're created some prototype of your game and all the stuff, you understand how it works and you're just starting, look, I have like this stuff and you can like use your skills and other things. And if you're like presenting this to like, I don't know, some big VC, that guy's like, not the game designers, they want to understand how that game will give them money. Or on the other hand, you can say, look, I found the market and found the gap in it. I will earn like 40 million this year on this game. And you are pitching to some private investor who are mostly just passionate about the game and he will want to look at trade, graphic or something like this. So yeah, I think that mostly the main thing, you should understand who you're pitching to and prepare your pitch for it. I think, yeah, that's the main point for me.
Yeah, basically understanding the market, kind of understanding the people.
Yeah,
that's really key part. And like, since you're both game designers, right, and have this experience, I'm curious, like, what would be your recipe for building the successful team? Do you have this vision already, or you're still not really sure and you're trying, like, you know, putting your toes basically in the water and trying to understand, like on your own experience at the moment? It's a tough question.
Yeah, for me, I think the main point is understanding that you should bring the people with the right mindset, because you're starting as an indie studio, as like a small team, and it's not the place like in corporation when you have like a bunch of the tasks and you are like working 2 hours a day and the last hours you're drinking coffee and talking with other guys. So I think it was a mistake that I used to do a few times already, that when you're trying to put into the team guys who are not passionate about what you're actually doing. And I think if you're trying to include in your team somebody who is passionate but not don't have enough skills yet, it's okay. It will be better than skilled guy that does not understand what's the purpose of what you're doing. Yeah, and I think it was also a great point from the camp, because in the camp we found exactly these people, the people who are passionate about the games, passionate about what they're doing, who are enthusiastic and proactive and seeing all the stuff. Because, yeah, you cannot manage everything as a game designer, as a project manager, like everything in the studio. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I can agree with Ilya that motivation is much more important than skills. But I think about this question for a couple months, because our project is slowed down too much after the camp, and because we have some personal problems in our lives. In the team and so on, but anyway, so I just tried to find an answer for myself, just how to motivate people, how to bring some good mood into development. And sometimes it could be really complicated, because especially when you don't have any budgets or everybody just works for free, I cannot like demand from the people. It would be quite stupid from my side. But still we just slowly but progressing and working on our games, and deadlines is really helps. Like we will have a Indie Blast on Game Gathering in Kyiv, so it motivates us pretty much. But also I want to mention that like I look on internet and some read some Reddit and so on, and as I see that a lot of indie teams also could fail because of lack of management, like especially when you are in the middle of development. So you if you didn't manage your tasks and what you need to do, so it's quite it's become quite chaotic and quite complicated to solve on that stage. So I think also management is still quite important, even in indie teams.
Yeah, definitely. Like not every, let's say, developer or person who is attached to the team, they can self-organize, right? Because this is like, it's a critical, and it's also like comes from experience. Like you cannot be, you know, you cannot just start the career and already be like self-organized. Of course, if you have some previous background, like with some other, you know, path, and you could do that, that's fine. But if not, it's really difficult. People just, I just remember my times when I used to be a junior developer. I was like, yeah, kind of like, I have no idea how to manage my time. Like I rely on my boss. I rely on my like manager. It tells me like, do this, do that, like finish, like go to work at 8. You have to be in the office at 8. You have to leave like at 8 p.m. and so on and so forth. So yeah, it can be difficult.
But Vladimir, like it strikes to me. So like what was different during the camp? Who motivated you and your team? Is it like whatever Liara with her nice knife emoji, or was it something else? Just like what changed?
Of course, Liara.
Can you share some context for people who have no idea about? What
Tell
you're
it.
About?
I mean, this knife emoji like is still haunting me, but like. No, both of you, because like both of you suffered from it. I mean, everybody did. So, but like from since you went through this like fast, both of you.
Well, but
and
we didn't suffer too much like from Lera. she just scaring everybody, but she kind and very pleasant.
Personally, I think I don't have more questions about the camp yet. I mean, it's, you know, it's always a weird state where you actually want to ask many, many more things, but you also have to like be aware of time about the podcast, because we cannot ask, unfortunately, everything here. Like, so Vova, maybe you have something else to ask guys and maybe to share something else before we wrap up.
I think all I can share about some information of Game Dev Camp, just to somebody who interested in.
Yeah, and also like
I know.
The future of this kind of initiative, and like, is it like once a year, twice a year, or is it just depends on some kind of different schedule?
Okay, time for a pitch. well, first, I know, like I start from a bit of the sentiments, since inhale, exhale, it's a lot of stuff. But basically, this is an online experience. Game Dev Camp is online and remote. And usually we don't even turn on cameras, because we have ladies on the team, and they're like, look, I'm not prepared for the camera. So like, if we as Game Dev team cannot, you know, don't like turning on cameras, that's what we don't demand from the attendees too. Which pretty much allows people to walk in the park, physically and mentally be in the camp during the sessions and all that. And like, yeah, many people turn in from mobiles and come to the sessions from whatever, from a bus and all that. And so people really, really adjust camp to fit their lives. And that was sort of the initial vision, that people with busy lives, it can be whatever, a mom with two kids, or a person having a full-time job, like whatever. As our example, Demarius, who has a full-time job, like Vova had full-time job, like, and still like were able to fit the camp in and advance the career in game dev and test the indie dream, test their game ideas and all that. So we have had two batches. Now you still have a few weeks, I think, until June 20 to apply for the third edition of the camp, that obviously going to be bigger and better and all that. And the idea is the same, that whoever you are, whether you're a game designer or programmer or an artist, you apply alone or with your friends and you get a full-fledged team, and you have to come up with a game idea, or like if you have game idea and maybe some sketches, like you would have to re-implement and reimagine it and pitch it, and weekly, not just at the end, but freaking almost weekly. Not almost, actually weekly. Pitch to programmer mentors, to game designer mentors, to art mentors, show the art, get review, get feedback. So at the start of the camp, and Vovo and Ilya, please correct me if I'm wrong, but basically like at the start of the camp, you don't know how to talk to these people, like how to present your game. It's like sort of, yeah, like, these are my slides, I'm very hyped about my game, and you're very slow, and you don't really know what you're doing. And by the end of the camp, you feel like a professional, I don't know, startup, you know, at a regular startup competition. It's like, hi, yeah, sure, like, let's go pitch in front of the huge audience. Obviously, you still get nervous, but because you have practiced so much, and also at the start of the camp, like, you get all these people who you don't know, and they're from different countries. And like, yeah, many people in the camp are from Ukraine, but they live in different countries. So there's also still culture different. But anyways, you have to sort of figure out how to talk to the team. And by the end of the camp, most teams feel like close friends already. And it's also very beautiful that people who you have never met and probably haven't ever seen, that you feel like total bond with because you're working on this beautiful thing. And you have to, like, all of you have different, are different. You have different goals and agendas, and you have to find that golden middle of what you all want this project to be. Whether a successful indie game at some point in life, or maybe a game demo that demonstrates like Vova's skill as a game designer, his artist skill as an artist, his programmer skill as a programmer, because like all of your team want to use this demo for their portfolio thingy to apply for jobs. So you learn to make a game, you learn to work in a team, you learn to explain what you're making and why what you're making is beautiful and how it is important. And I think the most important thing that you learn what you're good at and what you're shit at, because that's also very important. You know what you can do and like to do, and on the opposite side, what you can do and don't like doing, and what you can't do and don't like doing. So like this map of skills and tasks, and then you know what kind of job you want to do in life, even if you decide not to run an indie studio. And this whole thing you get in just 12 weeks, working at during the evenings, or 19 hours a day, in case of Obama.
Prepare for tough job. Yeah, actually, yeah. I think it's a great pitch, like, to be honest. Like, I was already, like, I was sitting and
pitching.
I was just hearing you, like, that's something interesting for me.
Like, yeah, I'm saying you like go suffer for like go pay money to suffer and you like great idea.
Yes, like yes, yes, but that's actually the only recipe, unfortunately, in our lives, how you make anything, right? You cannot just like, you know, even if you go to university, you have to suffer for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, from because you're drinking so much beer that your kidney fails. But
I don't know. That's the other side. That's don't spoil to people who are just going to university. But yeah, like in general, it sounds great. And another question, like, how can people find your camp? Like, do you have a website? Do you have like any kind of other resources? Like,
yeah, maybe probably LinkedIn? There is a link in the comment section or somewhere. gamedev.camp. Yeah, I mean, I'm just like so hyped talking about suffering. Vova and Ilya, like, how did you suffer? Can you like share some of your sufferings? Maybe trash me or Lera or like the camp at all. Like, did you lose your kidneys? Did you lose your sanity? Did you lose a friend or a girlfriend? I don't know, because of the camp. What went like wrong?
Breaking news: we have feedback online right away when we are recording. So it's very precious.
Please trash me or us or everything.
Well, for me it was like sometimes I didn't sleep at all, but it's because I had a main job. And to be honest, it was it like well, it was my conscious decision. I totally understand what I'm doing and what for I'm doing it, so no regrets, definitely.
Yeah, and I'm gonna critique you now. There were you and a few other people who were constantly posting that, like, oh, we don't sleep. This is such a great thing. We're such a startupers. We're such a hard workers. And then I was very angry at you, and like I tell you, like myself and there and whoever were telling you, like, this is the worst way to do it. And then, and you still didn't listen. So what did I do? I invited, like, an experienced game dev founder. Remember, Vova, who started like the session from like, so I lost my job, I lost my goal, I lost everything. I went into therapy rehab because I was working like so much in my games company. So it is recorded. So it's gonna be mandatory for all the people like you to watch before they start working at the camp. No, like you have to work less. You have to work smart, not hard. End of mic drop.
So we will definitely attach all the contacts of Ole, of Ilya, of their projects, of the dev camp in our like whatever description, whatever it will
be. Did Ilya suffer? Did Ilya suffer? That's also an important question.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm actually was a bit more prepared, because I gone through this startupers, no sleep and a lot of coffee phase during the previous year, and I had like a huge problems after that, and I decided to not repeat it again. So I'm trying this time to be much more reasonable in everything we done, and that's an important point about working smarter, not harder.
But actually, I think it's also to have important to have an experience like burnout to understand how to
find a therapist. Yes, that's very important skill in life. How to find a therapist?
Yeah, networking with therapists is very very important stuff nowadays.
Oh my people, what are you teaching?
Actually, like I'm working last week on my main job, so I'm quitting, and I decided that I want to have a rest for 1 month, or at least for one month, and to change a job to have a different tasks, and I don't know, to treat myself a bit better.
Okay. He reached Zen. I love it.
We started from a dev camp and we're going to the dark side, people.
Well, it's the light side, because like he's quitting his job to take care about himself. That's actually the light side, I think. And I love it. It's a very positive development.
I'm in general, you know, we're talking about the rehab process, you know, the therapists and that kind of stuff. But yeah, unfortunately,
somebody
that
has to talk about it.
Yes, that's actually, and that's, you know, the part of the real life, right? We're not talking about like ponies and like rainbows and stuff. It's just like how real life happens. And I know that people who, like, I don't know, worked at Naughty Dog and worked on The Last of Us, they just, like, after that, they went to rehab because they were just completely burned out and, like, even worse. Yeah, life, game development. So, folks, I really don't have any questions to you, and I would like personally to thank you so much for taking your time and spending this time with us today, answering our my questions mostly, and having great conversation about the camp, about your experience and the game development. So, as I mentioned before, we will put all the necessary links basically in the description, so you will find Ole, you will find Ilya, you will find everything you need and everything we talked about today. Final last words from everybody.
Yeah, I still like this therapy part. Take care about yourself. That's the only important thing, because you are, I mean, you are alive, you're a human, and you should be treated as a human. Like, everything else is secondary, despite, you know, whatever mom says or whatever neighbors say, like, you're working on these games, you don't even have a car. Like, fuck everybody.
It's not a proper job. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that too. Voila. Anything.
So, be safe. What can I say?
Yeah, keep safe, folks. That's very important.
Yeah, we'll just join, guys. Be safe. Yeah, it was a pleasure to talk with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe see you again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See you.
Goodbye, people.